Anna.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Good evening.
You got a one name. Oh.
Good evening. Sorry about that.
About what?
Oh, Tony didn't know. I had just gotten on and he opened the door. I sent him on an errand to see if I had any empty spaces in my filing cabinets in the garage. And was he blasted in? That's okay. We're okay now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not a problem. Our handout today is that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, second column from the left, it's Advanced Reincarnation Classes. When the landing page opens up, please scroll down to class 31C, where we will start. And let me make sure that that's correct. Yes. Section 31C will start with Chapter 32, Section 6A.
Okay, I have something different. That's okay, I'll find you.
I'm sorry?
Would you give me that again? This is what I have, so it'll take me a while to find it. Would you, do you mind repeating?
No, I don't mind repeating. It's class or section 31C. It's chapter 32, section 6A. Hezekiah, King of Yehuda.
Okay, that's not what I had. That's okay. Go ahead.
Let me double check something.
I had 32.1, but.
No, there's a recording that when we did section 4 up to chapter 32 up to section 4. So we've done that.
Okay. I had already put them up, so. But go ahead. Don't worry.
but I'm actually incorrect. The section that we're starting with tonight is chapter 32, section 5, which is about Alicia. Alicia is the student of Eliyahu. And we'll start with Alicia and Yehud. Does anybody have any questions before we begin? L'shem Yichud Chud Shabar Yichu Ish Kinte Bid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Le'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sok Torah Mitzvah Le'inu Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Fenenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Fenenehu. On to Alicia, chapter 32, section 5. Alicia was from the root of Hanoch, who is called Memtet. From the aspect of the Neshama Vatzilut, which is called the Zehira Ila'a of Adam. Therefore, in order to complete his soul spread of all levels, the Nefesh, the Ruach, the Neshama of Atzilut, he needed to take the Nefesh of Nadav and Avihu, which was the Nefesh of the Zehira Ila'a of Adam, which was in Elijah. Since Elijah merited the Ruach of the Zehira Ila'a, as mentioned before, he therefore said, "Your Ruach be mine." Hinted in Barucha, your spirit, is what we explained it from the Zohar, that though both the Nefesh and the Ruach of Abihu were from the root of Cain, whereas the Nefesh of Nadav was from another root, making only his Ruach from the root of Cain. Thus, since only his Ruach was from Cain, he said Barucha, meaning your Ruach, and not Nefesh. So his name is Elisha, for with respect to Cain, it says, to Cain and his meal offering he did not pay attention. Since he rectified Cain, he is called Elisha, as if to say, Li, the Hebrew translates as to me. Lisha'a, which is Hebrew for pay attention. His name then meaning, to me, God did pay attention. Whereas to Cain, he did not, before his tikkun, before his correction. Here the Arizal touches upon the essential issue of the Cain root. The Torah is not a history book, and when it relates an account, the points outlined are all meant to teach foundational ideas about the scenario. Cain's offering was not accepted. He became discouraged. God warned him not to fall. He still went on to murder Abel. A person should always work to keep his spirits up. A central theme of these chapters is to explain how the different parts of Cain's mistakes were fixed. They all stem from discouragement. The starting point of it is good, a desire to find favor in God's eyes. A tikkun must be made for what ensues, a falling of the heart, if not. This dynamic itself comes from the tohu root. It starts out with much light, much desire to do God's will. By nature, one aspires to too much light, attaining a level above their reach. The result is a shattering of the vessel, discouragement. This brings the Sitra Achra over, and the person goes on to make mistakes and destroy. One must nip it in the bud by self-fortification and never allow discouragement and depression to cross his heart. Therefore, a person should always work to keep his spirits up. The spirit of a man sustains his ailments. This is a teaching in the book of Hagiga from the Talmud. This is true even physically. How much more so in regards to soul issues? Rabbi Nachman emphasized that no matter what, one should never give up. No matter what a person did or does, and to where they might have strayed and fallen, there is always hope, for no outcast shall be pushed away from you. God really loves each soul very much and desires for it to come back to him. He sometimes shows a distancing in order to awaken the person to try harder, etc. One must not pay attention to the outward pushing away. Only plow on to do teshuvah in all circumstances, no matter what. Alicia trailblazed a major milestone step in this tikkun. He opened the path to the world in which the Cain root can say, Li Sha'ah, to me he shows favor. To me he shows attention. I know that God really loves me and wants me to return to him. That being the case, I will plow through whatever obstacles he sees fit to place before me and come back. I already alluded earlier that Pinchas is called Elijah to indicate that the Ibor of Nadab and Abihu, which came from Cain, was rectified by him. Therefore, the three letters, Aleph Lamed Yud, of Elijah, are also in Elisha, indicating that Elisha also rectified these three letters like Elijah. These letters from Eli, my Lord is, my Lord as in this is Eli, my Lord, and I will glorify him. This means divinity to me is fixing the defect of Nadab and Abihu that draw too much godliness and caused it to depart from the self. Eli is a gematria of 41, which equals Aim, mother, which equals Bina, the upper Shekhinah, the maternal aspect of the Sephirot. Just as the mother takes care of and nurtures the child, so does God tend to the soul and its needs. Malchut, the lower Shekhinah, is concerned with the physical needs of people. This level of closeness was what Nadab and Abihu wanted to draw. Elisha, fixed their improper drawing and afforded the world access to it. This is in line with Nadab and Abihu's deaths when the Mishkan was being consecrated. Rashi explains that the souls of Nadab and Abihu were taken to the heavens as part of the spiritual inauguration in order to draw down the intense level of the Shekhinah that rested in the Mishkan. A tremendous awakening from below had to be stirred up. Only the greatest souls were powerful enough to do this. And so Moses remarked to his brother Aaron that he had thought one of them would be taken for the task. Seeing that Aaron's sons were taken shows that they were greater. The Shekhinah is the personification of the divine maternal aspect that looks after the souls. Elisha, fully fixed what Nadab and Abihu tried to do, and so they share the letters Aleph Lamed Yud, which then has a gematria of Aleph Mem. They made an earth-shattering tikkun that lasts for all generations to the end of time. What comes out is that Nadab and Abihu were only trying to do good, and they ended up doing good. The establishment of the Mishkan, the forerunner of the Holy Temple, the center of divinity to the universe, was all drawn down through them, relative to themselves. They tried for too much and were burned. Relative to the world, they made an earth-shattering tikkun that lasts for all the generations, to the end of time. Elisha only had to perfect what they did. This is the secret of the children's mocking, who said to him, Elisha, go up, bald head, in Hebrew, Kerioth, the same letters as Korach. Go up, bald head, for Korach, son of Yitzhar, was the Ruach of Cain, from the side of evil, which is why he went down to Shaul alive. The children wanted to insult and curse him, as if to say, Korach went down to Shaul and needs to ascend. If you come from the root of Cain, how can you ascend? The most difficult task is to fix the Cain root. Since the final redemption depends upon it, it must happen. However, those that are involved in it have to undergo the greatest hardships. Elijah, the teacher and soul root of Elisha, was the diametrical opposite of Korach. He was punished unnaturally and descended alive to the pit. Elijah miraculously ascended alive to heaven. Korach tried to usurp Moses. It was a lack of faith in Moses. He said the entire congregation is holy and God is in their midst. He seemed to be preaching idiot democracy. As mentioned, Korach was trying to bring a high level into the world prematurely. As mentioned, Korach was trying to bring a high level into the world prematurely. Everyone is equal. This arrangement is rooted in Korach's source, the world of Tohu. Everyone is equal. There, each of the Sephirot receives the light of En Sof directly, without coming on to each other. This order was followed by the world of Tikkun. A hierarchy was set up in which the Sephirot received by means of an interrelated system. Presently, the world needs to be run by the Tikkun order. Through this, it will reach a state of being ready to receive the superior lights of Tohu. Until that time, just as the Sephirot receive from each other, so it is by man below. This is the root of the teacher-student, the root of the leader in the people order. Korach tried to change this and make everyone equal before it would be productive. On the other hand, Elisha, from the Korach root, was the classic student. As mentioned, he is the root model and exemplification of the highest goal of every student, to receive a double portion of his teacher's spirit. Thus he fixed the Korach root. This itself is the secret of why he was then attacked by those bad children. When something is finally being fully fixed, the Sitra Achra is then most concerned about trying to thwart it. For this reason, when a person sees things seeming to go wrong, this could be because he was on the verge of a breakthrough. Or it may be because he had just attained a high level. They also were hinting that just as Korach ben Yitzhar was shaved by Moses, as were all the Levites in their inauguration, and was thus bald of any hair, so too was Elisha bald of his hair. Since the root of his soul was connected to Korach, this is what caused the Ibur and Nadav and Abihu after that, where they were from the root of the soul of Korach. Furthermore, just as Moses used the 42-letter name to kill the Egyptian, who was from the Nephesh of Cain, from the side of evil, so too did Elisha mention the 42-letter name and kill these 42 children, as the Zohar states. Elisha saw that the souls of these children were from a very evil place. He killed them for their own tikkun and for the sake of the world. The 42-letter names fixes the shattering of the vessels. Moses saw that the part of Cain that killed Abel was in that Egyptian. He also saw that it was completely bad and no good would come out of it. Because of this, he killed him. The same applies to Elisha with these children who were from the evil of Cain. The 42-letter name fixes the shattering of the vessels from which comes the bad of Cain, and is so fitting to use to destroy this negative element. And they were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Hairs are constrictions or garments for thoughts and ideas. The secret of baldness is a lack of constriction. Before the sin, it was possible to perceive the divine light directly. Afterwards, it was only possible through constrictions. As said, this was the mistake of Korach, to attempt to restore the world to this state before it was ready. Esav, on the other hand, was a hairy man from too much constriction. This gave him extreme thin tenderloins. The arrangement of the world of Tikkun has each level as if clothed in the level beneath it. The step lower finds the light of the higher level toned down through its cloth. This is also the concept of hair. Korach, who rebelled against the system of hierarchy and gradation, therefore was bald. Elisha incorporated the good aspect of what Korach was trying to do, and so was somewhat bald. Even though all of the Levites were completely shaved by their inauguration ceremony, afterwards they could grow their hair. Korach kept himself bald all the time. Levites are from the left side of Din. The service of the temple is designed to draw chesed in the world. It specifically requires the Levite, the judgment element, the din element, in order to do its thing, accomplish a sweeping of din. This is the reason why the Levites sing in the temple. The best music comes out of troubles. The greatest chesed comes out of sweetened judgment. In order to be able to do this, the Levites had to first be shaved of all hair, all judgments. This opened for them a path in their service to clear away din and ameliorate it. Through his nullification and humility, he prepared the world for the final state and struck a proper balance between the two approaches that could be received in this time. That's the end of the section. Does anybody want any questions? Have any questions? The next section is section 6a, Hezekiah, the king of Yehuda. After that, he reincarnated into Hezekiah, or Hezekiahu, the king of Jehuda, to hint to what is written by our sages. In the days of the flood, God hung it on Cain weekly. And with respect to him, it says, all that existed was eradicated. After it was rectified, he was called Hezekiah, because through him Cain was nitzatzeach, strengthened from his weakness. The generation of the flood was an expression in our history below of the mechanics of the world of Tohu above. Therefore, did they do tohu-oriented sins? This does not mean that they didn't have free choice. Rather, their spiritual root, as in the case of everyone, caused certain tendencies. The person's job is to deal with whatever tendencies he finds within himself, according to the divine will. The lights of tohu shattered the vessels and were left without receptacles. The sin that most resembles and is actually drawn from this is the wasting of seed. There are souls in semen. As long as it is emitted into the female receptacle, the souls that rest in it are thereby put into spiritual vessels. Even when there is no conception, souls are thereby rectified. If not, it creates naked souls that become masikim, damagers, that harass and suck energy from the soul of the one who pronounced them or produced them. The rabbis teach that this was the main sin of that generation, and it caused the flood to come upon them. The tohu theme of shattering vessels also associates with breaking boundaries. From it comes theft, violating the right of another to his property. This was the other main sin of that generation. The general theme of the tohu motion associates with pain. He committed both crimes. He was jealous of his brother's portion, itself a violation of boundaries. This went further when he took his brother's wife and placed his seed in her. He then completely violated the limits and murdered his brother, leaving his soul without a vessel. For the blood is the soul. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. He planted the root of its expression in the world. The principal tohu theme of the vessels shattering left them weak. Hezekiah, who fixed the tohu cane root, repaired and strengthened it. Hezekiah merited one-third of the portion of the firstborn that was meant for Cain. The letters Yud-Heh-Vav from Eliyahu and from Elijah were rectified. As a result, Hezekiah and Hezekiah merited one-third of the portion of the firstborn that was meant for Cain, who was the firstborn of Adam. They are priesthood, kingship, and the firstborn rights mentioned by the Targum Jonathan on the verse, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Keter is the highest of the Sephirot. It means crown, the king's primary expression of royalty. It divides itself into three sub-coronets, expressed in the world as the crowns of firstborn, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. The coordinates of the three heads within Keter assume varied expression. Also below, they can come out in different manners. There are also three crowns, the crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. In this set, Torah takes the place of firstborn. The crown of a God king, of a good name, surpasses them all. It is the general surrounding aspect that encompasses them all together. Name identifies with Malchut. The highest level of a good name shines in Malchut, the lowest level. The perfect level is when they are all found together in one person. The three heads are the ultimate source of the right, left, and middle principles that governs existence. The greatest manifestation of the absolute divine unity is when they are all found in one individual. Cain made great offenses. He tended to do this only because he had super potential for good. He was supposed to embody all of the three heads of Keter together. In place of this, he committed three major crimes: jealousy, adultery, and murder. The Acharyim, the backside aspects of the three heads, manifesting in the Keter of the Sitra Achra. On the right side of the fence, the three heads express in the self as desire, delight, and faith. On the wrong side, desire turns into being jealous and wanting what another has. Delight becomes the forbidden pleasure of adultery. Faith, the source of life, transforms to murder. This unraveled the bundle, disallowing the three to express together, darkening the manifestation of the Keter. Jacob attained a great degree of perfection. Through this, his children stood in the heights of the universe. Reuben, the firstborn, was equipped to don priesthood and kingship. This would have made the tribes into a miniature Mashiach Tikkun and caused the final redemption to come much sooner. The Egyptian redemption would have been for all time. Since the world was not yet ready for it, this caused a tremor in the family bond that pushed Reuben to disturb the bed arrangement of his father. The Talmud explains that anyone who says that Reuben actually sinned is making a mistake. The Shekhinah, the Malchut, rests on the beds of Tzadikim. Malchut is the last Sephirah that ricochets up and binds with the first Sephirot. The end is embedded in the beginning, and the beginning in the end. And he, Ahasuerus, plays the Keter, Malchut, a royal crown on her, Esther's head, and he made her queen in place of Vashti. It is specifically through Malchut connection below that Keter is completed, and its three heads are bound together and come into expression. Upsetting the matched connection again separated the three heads. As a result, Reuben lost all three, and they were divided. Joseph was given the firstborn, Levi the priesthood, and Judah the kingship. The letters Yud-Heh-Vav give into the final hay of Malchut. They are rooted in the three heads. So by fixing them, Hezekiah, who is from Judah, was able to draw them to Malchus and take his portion of the three heads, kingship. Thus, Hezekiah wore the crown of kingship, and this is the secret of what our sages say. God wanted to make Hezekiah the Mashiach. He was the head, the kingly aspect of the shoulder of Cain, later making him fit for the position of royalty. The question was because he was from Cain, the firstborn, and so was he fitting to take the crown of kingship and to be the future Mashiach. However, it didn't happen because he didn't say Shirah. The final redemption comes through the song of the world that is coming. Hezekiah was very righteous. He brought his generation to such a great level that even children were great Torah experts. Torah comes out from the supernal Chachmah. Mashiach's job is to infuse the world with the step above, Keter. This is reached through song. Therefore, the final redemption comes through the song of the world that is coming, which Mashiach will sing and teach the world. Any messianic candidate can only be in the ballpark of reaching this level by first attaining a great plateau of Chachmah. Hezekiah did ascend to this place. All he had to do was sing to activate his Mashiach potential. The rabbis do not explain why he did not do this. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. That's the end of this section. Does anybody have any questions?
So,
Go ahead, Martha.
So you're saying Hezekiah is the one we were just talking about. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He didn't do Songs of Songs. He didn't sing that or study the Songs of Songs.
Hezekiah, his correction. He had two aspects of his correction. One was to cleanse the children of Israel from their idol worshiping, because they had fallen back into idol worshiping through his father, who was the king before him. The other thing he was supposed to do was to bring children. And he, through his Ruach HaKodesh and his prophecy, saw that his children would be negative people, part of the negative system. So he refused to get married and he refused to draw children. And so I believe it was Nathan, but I'm not sure which prophet, came to him and said, get ready, you're about to die. And he said, but what did I do? I'm paraphrasing. And the prophet said, God told me you're going to die because you didn't have children. And he then responded, but I saw they were going to be part of the negative system. And God said, your tikkun is your tikkun. It's not up to you to question another person's tikkun. Your job is to bring children, so bring children. What they do is up to them, and they have free choice. And so that is what is being discussed in the last part of this section. But what Hezekiah is doing is correcting the tikkun of, part of the tikkun of Cain. Because the correction for the tikkun of Cain is that they have to die. People who come from the root of Cain have to die. Because they killed Abel, their correction for that is to die. Now, we think everybody in the world has to die. But that's not true. Only reincarnations of the tikkun of Cain have to die. And for the most part, those people have done so. But that's why the Mashiach has been delayed in coming, so that the majority of the roots or the sparks of Cain will have been incarnated and experienced death. So I hope I clarified for you, Malka.
I think there's more Maybe questions not. That come out of this.
Well, go ahead and ask.
I thought, okay, since you said that the ones that were reincarnated into from Cain have already died, but I thought we were all still part of that.
Remember, each human being has 613 parts of the body, which means they have 613 parts of the soul. And if an individual part of a soul is corrected, then that soul, that night after the action of the correction, that soul goes up to heaven, and a new soul part comes into the person. So by now in all of the lives that we all have lived, the Cain parts and the Abel parts are all mixed in everybody. But in the Bible, there were still direct lineage of the soul parts all that were in Cain, all they reincarnated into various people, one of which was Hezekiahu. But the Cain parts, the part of their tikkun, to make up for having killed Abel, is to go through the process of death. Whereas if someone has an Abel part, and that Abel part, through an action today, achieved the tikkun for that part, they don't have to die. The Abel part doesn't have to go through death, but if it was a Cain part, it would have to go through death, but not necessarily in that lifetime. Again, it's a complicated maze, but I'm trying to explain it as clearly as I understand it. And if I've confused you, I apologize. I don't know who spoke, so, and I know Hana needs to ask a question that you'd started to ask.
Well, since it started off being about discouragement, I thought he was discouraged and that he was falling back into that type of behavior, and that's why he couldn't sing a song of praise. But that, you know, it was really...
That makes some sense as well. Everybody has to sing a song of praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do they make up a new one? Are they singing one of the other ones? All of those are aspects of people's tikkun. Some people, they learn a song and they can sing it anywhere, anytime. They always know the right tune, and it just comes flowing out of their mouth. But other people, you can try and learn a song, and they can't, you know, it just never comes. What is the reason for that? Well, it's a complicated reason, in that which part of the body of Adam does that soul originate, or that soul part originates? Any other questions? Without any questions, we're almost out of time anyway, so. At 4:30 West Coast time, 6:30 Central, and 7:30 Eastern, we will be counting the Omer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shavuot Tov to all of you. Just a quick reminder, at 11 o'clock West Coast time Monday, we're continuing our teachings of the principles of Kabbalah. And at 4:30, we will have a deep Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we will have the counting of the Omer plus an essay by the Ari. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.